All right, welcome to the Short Fuse. We are back, better than ever, quarantine edition. We've got something special coming today. We are going to speak with Aiden. I'm Michael Chrisman, and we are going to choose a best 11 from the past 11 years. And you can only use one player from each season, along with only using that one player once in the entirety. So we will go best 11, filling out a formation of our choice during the pod, and then we will, on the second half, flip for first pick and formation, and then we will draft, and neither one of us can draft the same players. We'll go over that at the end. So let me welcome in our guest, Aiden Gibson from the Short Fuse.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well, all considering. So staying home, washing my hands, and I'm footballless. I've watched Sunderland Till I Die season two. I've watched the Maradona documentary. I have not watched the English game. I'm interested to hear a few thoughts from you on that. And that's about, I've considered rewatching 89. I have not rewatched it yet, but I'm getting close. So how about yourself?
I mean, doing some work from home, and then trying to fill the time. I watched the English game. It was done by Julian Fellowes, who of course did Downton Abbey, and there's actually someone in the comments today who basically gave a good description of it. It's if there was football in Downton Abbey. So, if that's your thing, you might enjoy it. If it's not your thing, you might not enjoy it. I wrote a review. It's on the website. I did not enjoy it that much. But I'm currently making my way through Sunderland Till I Die, and just watching a lot of old Arsenal games. That's been there's like a lot of them on YouTube and things. So that's been like one thing that's been kind of nice. But yeah.
I didn't realize that on Sunderland Till I Die that the producers and the people who pitched are actually Sunderland fans. I thought it was like Netflix or somebody who wanted to shoot a documentary went to Sunderland, but it's actually their own loyal fans that were the ones who had the idea for it. My only complaint is that it's only six episodes. I wish they did 10 episodes because it's very well done. I'd like to see a little bit more. So I'm not sure if they're shooting this season or not, but this would be super interesting as they try to bounce back up because now no one knows how any promotion relegation is going to work. For the Premier League, I think the last thing I heard was that all 20 teams would stay and then the two automatic teams would come up from the championship and there'd be a 22-team Premier League and then there'd be five relegated next season, which seems okay because I think the very first year of the Premier League, there wasn't 20 teams anyway. So, I mean, Leeds United deserves to be in. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be what we're going to see over the next couple of months is people are going to have a lot of different plans. A lot of things will probably be floated, and who knows what will happen? It's literally impossible to predict what will happen. Literally impossible. Like
Absolutely.
we did our 2020 episode a few weeks ago, or God only knows when that was now. And I don't think either of us had pandemic down as one of the things that would happen to Arsenal in 2020. So we missed that one.
And if you didn't see today, Arsenal players have agreed or haven't signed on it, but have come to a verbal agreement on their wage cut, temporary wage cut, from what I understand. We'll have more on that on the website. And as Aiden said, he has posted a review on the English game. I put up today a kit preview for Adidas for 2021 and 2022. But if you want to check that out, you guys know where to find us, theshortfuse.com and the Short Fuse on any social media websites. Okay, so I'm gonna let Aiden take over from here. The premise right now is 11 players filling out an actual formation. So for Arsenal, we're going to go with 4-2-3-1 because for the past 11 years, that was the majority of the formation they rolled out the most. You have to fill every position with a player who would actually play there. I would say the midfield, if you need to shuffle it around, okay. But a left back needs to be playing left back, et cetera. A goalkeeper needs to be playing goalkeeper. And if you choose, for example, you choose Jack Wilshere from 2010, 2011, you can't choose Jack Wilshere from 2013-14. And that's pretty much it. He's ruled out at that point. So from there, Aiden, let's hear your squad.
Yeah, so it's a 4-2-3-1. And so my goalkeeper, I went with Bernd Leno from this season, 2019-2020. I mean, obviously he's been very good this season, really good shot stopper. I was tempted to go with Wojciech Szczęsny from 2013-14 when he led the league or had as many, was joint top with in clean sheets with Petr Cech, who was then at Chelsea. But I left 2013-14 for another player, which we will get to in a bit. So my right back, I went with Hector Bellerin from 2015-16. Hector made the PFA team of the year that year from right back. He was really good, first full season playing right back. And at the back end of it, he got signed to a new six-year contract after interest from Barcelona. Yeah, he was really good, really kind of productive down the right-hand side. 15-16, close call for Mesut Ozil, but his position is taken up by someone else, and I will get to that in a bit. So my two centre-halves, Per Mertesacker from 14-15. I think when you look over the past 11 years, there have been two outstanding centre-backs at Arsenal. Per Mertesacker is one. Lauren Koscielny is the other. Mertesacker, 14-15, played a lot, scored, captained the team with Mikel Arteta out injured a lot that year. So yeah, he's in the team. Laurent Koscielny gets into the team from 2018-19. And I mean, you know, I think you could have picked any one of Koscielny's seasons over the last 7-8 years, and it would have been a reasonable choice. He was also in the team because when trying to figure this out, it's like, okay, who actually played really well in 2018-19? And obviously you have like the strikers, you have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But, you know, thinking about the construction of the team as a whole, it was sort of like, okay, Koscielny makes sense here. I think, you know, Nacho Monreal was a standout left back of the decade. I've gone with his 17-18 season. You know, maybe not necessarily his best in an Arsenal shirt, but he came up with a lot of goals that season, and was pretty much the first choice left back. So yeah, Monreal is there. So that's my back four: Bellerin, Mertesacker, Koscielny, Monreal. Okay, so my midfield two.
What year did you have Lauren Koscielny from?
18-19.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, his recovery year. And then
his recovery, exactly.
His overplayed year. Okay.
His year where he was the only competent defender. Yeah.
We'll on go one with Achilles. That. Yep.
Yes. Okay, so I think one central midfielder is very apparent here. I hinted at it earlier. 2013-14 season of Aaron Ramsey was incredible. Look, he was the best player on the team that season. Had he stayed fit the whole year, I think Arsenal would have won the league. His contributions from midfield were outstanding in terms of goals, assists. His all-around game was excellent. Just the way that he... Just the off the ball movement, the engine, and then also the physicality. Now, one thing that I sort of, you know, I've had a lot of time on my hands, and so I've gone back looking at some of Arsenal's previous seasons, and the 12-13 season was a really weird one. But one thing that you got at the end of the 12-13 season was the beginning of sort of this axis that actually ended up being really successful. So you had the backs, you had the center back pairing of Koscielny and Mertesacker, and then you had a midfield, and then you had the midfield of Aaron Ramsey, and next to him, and I've gone with him from 12-13, it's the manager, Mikel Arteta. So yeah, that was sort of, you know, he really kind of anchored the team in that season, was really good from basically, you know, as the number six holding midfield player. So, you know, and that form continued. But I think, you know, Arteta was really good in 12-13. Yeah, and, you know, honourable shout from 2012-13 to Santi Cazorla. Really good season. But, you know, trying to construct a whole 11, and it's difficult. Okay, so my number 10. 2009-10, Cesc Fabregas. So it was either going to be Fabregas or Ozil. Those are the outstanding tens that we've had. But Fabregas really carried the team that year. Especially there was a period of like 2-3 months where Arsenal basically didn't have a striker, but remained in the title chase because Fabregas was really good. And yeah, it was just adding goals from midfield, just carrying the team. On the left, I've gone with Alexis from 2016-17. I think we, you know, remember that season where he, you know, was outstanding, scored like 30 goals, scored some crucial goals in the cup run. Really fantastic season, fantastic player. On the right of that attack three, 2010-11, Samir Nasri. There's a pattern here of picking a lot of players who end up leaving the club, but Samir Nasri. Yeah, Samir Nasri, that was, you know, breakout season really for him. Again, just sort of goals, but his playmaking contributions in that team was really good. And I like the balance, you know, I like the balance of having Arteta and Ramsey and then Fabregas. You have some really good runs from midfield. And then you also have just the ball retention between Fabregas and Nasri, and Arteta would be great. And then you have sort of like the dynamism of Alexis. And this off the ball movement is great. So the last player in my team, his 2011-12 season, Robin van Persie. I think it was, you know, an incredible amount of goals and assists. And I mean, he really carried that team to finishing third. And you know, I think it's hard to think about van Persie because he went to Man United straight after. But you know, as time has gone by, he's sort of able to appreciate just how good he was that season and sort of what the team around him was. It was a very functional team, not necessarily a really creative team. So Van Persie gets in ahead of Aubameyang. Those have been sort of like, you know, the two top bracket strikers that we've had in the last 11 years. And that season from Van Persie just gets ahead of Aubameyang.
Okay, so can you read us your whole lineup now just so we have one more refresher on everybody that was in there?
Yeah, so 19-20, Bernd Leno, 15-16, Bellerin, 14-15, Mertesacker, 18-19, Koscielny, 17-18, Monreal, 12-13, Arteta, 13-14, Ramsey, 10-11, Nasri, 09-10, Fabregas, 16-17 Alexis, and 11-12 Van Persie. And the numbers obviously correspond to the season.
Okay, excellent. So I am just now wrapping mine up, and I am having... All right, thanks for a message from our sponsors there. So now I'm going to go through and explain my 11 that I have year by year here. So I'll start from the back, 4-2-3-1. The obvious choice, I think there was only two players that we could go with here for the 19-20 season. I went Bernd Leno in goal because otherwise it's Aubameyang up top. And not that he wouldn't be justified there, but to get the keeper out. And Leno, although I'm not completely sold on like the absolute greatness that some people praise him as, it's also a high quantity thing where there's that many shots, you're bound to stop some, I hope. But yeah, he's having a good season. Fortunately, it's cut short. But for the price we paid for him and everything, I think he's been fine and steady and a lot better than David Ospina. So that's all I can ask. But yeah, for 19-20, Bernd Leno. Left back, go with Nacho in the 17-18 season. Nacho had 6 goals, I believe, in the 17-18 season. And he played about 38 matches. So, I mean, Nacho's a stalwart back there ever since we bought him. I think there was the first half season we had him. He was great for the whole decade. I would actually say Nacho could probably even be in the consideration for player of the decade just for the amount of appearances and how steady he was as a left back and really somebody that was in a great Spanish team at the time. But yeah, 6 goals from Nacho that year. Clearly, we know what he's capable of defensively. Then we'll move on to Per Mertesacker. The academy director now from his 12-13 season and his partner will be Laurent Koscielny in the 2018-19 season, which again is the Achilles season, but there wasn't a lot of positives for Arsenal in that season. His somewhat redemption story following the 2018 World Cup, missing out on that, and then tearing his Achilles against Atletico. Plus, we know his best partner in the back is Per, so I'm banking on their partnership and their ability for Per to read and Koscielny to press up to be what works for us. I would have loved to have Hector in here, but for the lineup and the other choices I made, Bakary Sagna is going to make an appearance here. Bakary left us for Manchester City, but before that and before his injury when Hector came in, we knew Bakary as one of the first names in the team sheet. He's not Trent Arnold Palmer. He's not going to be whipped in crosses. They weren't very good, but he was steady. He was in the French team. This is 2010, 2011, so it's definitely a World Cup year for him. We could count on Bakary every day at the Emirates, and so he makes my squad there. He just needs to get a haircut to play for me. And then our pivot in the 4-2-3-1, Francis Lecoq-Coquelin from the 14-15 season. That's where he came back in, played 30 games. He was partnered with Santi, but for his 18-month run when he was in the squad and he was playing the best football of his entire career, I'm going to fit him in here because otherwise I didn't have a defensive player. I wasn't going to put Xhaka in here. I didn't have a defensive mid. And when you think about any type of defensive mid Arsenal's had in the past decade, I don't think anyone has actually had a better 18-month run playing that position. Arteta wasn't a true D mid. I did think about putting him here, but as a true defensive mid and a true six, I put him here for 14-15. So a little love for Francis. He's off in Valencia scoring goals, something he can never do at Arsenal. And partnering with him is from the deep eight spot, Aaron Ramsey from the 2013-2014 season. We all know what Rambo did in that season. It was spectacular. He may not replicate that ever again. I mean, he just had a scoring touch, and he was fantastic arriving from deep spots into the box, and he definitely has to make my side and definitely my team of the decade or my top 11 from the past 11. Moving to the front four, let me take a sip here. We're usually at a bar or a tavern, but shout out to my home kitchen and the Rainier tall boys that are in the fridge keeping me through this quarantine.
I've moved outlet to pure whiskey.
Yeah, I have some bourbon in the kitchen too, but I went for a pint tonight. Out left is going to be Mesut Ozil. Yes, he's not going to be playing centrally, but he's going to be playing out left in the 15-16 form. That's the season he registered the most assists. That's the season, the Leicester season, we should have won the Premier League. Everything that came off his left foot was ending up in the back of the net from somebody else's contact, and I think he had 19 Premier League assists. It would mess it carried us in times where we needed it carried. We I think we fell short for him that season, not him falling short for us. Playing the 10 spot, Cesc Fabregas. It's the 1 year we could fit him in here. Well, I think he played in the 2010-11 season, but he was injured that year. So this was definitely his double-double year. I think he was like, 18 and 16 or 18 and 18. It was very close on those numbers. He's going to play in the 10 role, Mesut to the left, but we'll have Rambo and Coquelin behind him. And my side couldn't have Ramsey and Cesc not be in it. So it's just a shame that he ever left Arsenal. Outright, he's typically on the left. His great season in 2016-2017 was from the left, but to make accommodations for Mesut being out there, we are going to put Alexis outright. If you want to flip Mesut and Alexis, that's fine too. They're interchangeable at this point. They could switch every 20 minutes. I'm fine with the form from Mesut being 15-16 and Alexis' form 30 goals in 16-17. He'll be outright to start. And up top, I think Aubameyang has every right to be in this conversation. I think he deserves to be in this conversation, but Robin Van Persie's 2011-2012 season following Cesc leaving was just incredible. Outside of the AC Milan game, who knows what that year would have been like without Robin Van Persie leading the line. So, yes, a trend of players that have left us, players that have left us for other Premier League clubs, but when we're building this side, I think that he definitely has to be in it from that season. So we'll take one more pause here because I think we have to have another advertisement break. So enjoy this message from our sponsors. All right, welcome back to Warning Shots, the Short Fuse podcast. We're going to take our Dream 11s from the past 11 years, and now we are going to take the same premise and draft against each other. And once a player is drafted, they're no longer available. Aiden won the coin toss. Aiden's going to take 4-2-3-1. I myself am going to go 3-4-3. And Aiden, first pick, and you can choose any year. And then I get one from that year too, obviously, but that'll be your only pick from that year. Okay. So first up.
Okay. I'm going to go with, 2009-10 Cesc Fabregas.
I hate you. I'm going to take '15-16 Mezet.
Okay. Okay, so
I gotta write out all my years here so I can fill them in accordingly.
Yeah, no, totally. Okay, so I am going to take 13-14 Ramsey. I'm going for my big midfielders.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm writing down all my years right now so that I can make sure I see everything. Okay. So 13-14. And then the first year you did 09, 010, and 13-14. Okay. Okay, I'm going to pause this. I'll edit this out.